Join with me.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Is that your story? Do you have that blessed assurance of which we just sang? For several Sunday mornings now, we've been discussing the subject of hope. And the main purpose that we've had in mind is equipping us to be able to sing that song and mean it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. So many times as the subject of salvation has been discussed by those who claim to be New Testament Christians, the statement is made, I think I am saved. I hope I will have eternal life. And I understand there is a sense in which we do hope for eternal life. But I believe we need to have blessed assurance. We do not need to go to the extreme that some go by saying that once saved, always saved. Or a child of God cannot so sin as to be eternally lost. But we do need to be able, based on our understanding of the Bible, our belief in Christ, and our trust in God, to have that blessed assurance that we are saved from past sins, that we are living a life that is according to the will of God, and that if we were to die at any one point, that we believe we are ready to go to meet God and to live with him in heaven. Our specific subject this morning is, where is your hope? Next Sunday morning, I want us to take that song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, and break it down and analyze the parts of it and fit that into the overall subject that we have studied dealing with the subject and concept of hope. Where is your hope this morning? Every person who's living has some kind of hope, some degree of hope, and that hope is placed in some area of thought. Let's look at four or five passages of Scripture where there is a contrast drawn. In Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. Notice the contrast. Without Christ, on the outside of Christ, and in Christ. There was a time, he said to these people, you were without Christ. You didn't have any hope. You were in the world. You were without God. You didn't have any hope. You were placing your hope in worldly things, and that really was no hope. But now in Christ, you have hope. You have the fact that you've been drawn nearer by the blood of Christ. And understanding what we do from the Bible and other passages, we know that that means that one's sins have been forgiven, that the blood of Christ can take care of one's sins, and therefore there is hope. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here the contrast is between the love of the world and the love of the Father. For a long time, when I read that passage and looked at that phrase, love of the world, I thought of evil deeds. People who love to steal, or who love to be involved in immoral acts, or who love to lie, who trust in those things, as contrasted with love for God. But there's a key word in that passage that we may not have put in proper focus. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I submit to you that that may be where too many people put their hope, in the things of the world. And in 1 Corinthians 15:19, he says, if we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. Now, put those ideas together, the things that are in this world, and if we have hope in this life only, in the things that are in this world, we really are a miserable people. No wonder Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. You see, the contrast continues in all of these different passages between the things that are in the world and the things that belong to God. In fact, Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are here now, but at the things which are eternal, not at the things which are temporary, but at the things which are eternal. Notice he uses the word things on both sides there. The things that are temporary and the things that are eternal. Where do you put your hope this morning? Most of us think about retirement, putting aside some for retirement. We're encouraged to save for that, and I'm one of those who would encourage that. I do not believe that's wrong. In fact, one of the things that's concerned me about many of our gospel preachers down through the years is that they have not looked ahead for the time when they would be older and not be able to have an income. I've seen many of our preachers that were fine gospel preachers who came to the point that they could no longer work and had very little, if anything, to take care of their needs. Most of us think about purchasing a house and paying for that house and having that house. I worked extremely difficult to have my house paid for before I was 62, was able to accomplish that. I do not believe that was wrong. I'm extremely thankful to be able to go home and to go into a house that is paid for. I don't owe anything on it. And I think that's good. I think it is good to have a look at the future and what we think our needs are in the future. I'm thankful that I have health insurance. I'm thankful that I have other kinds of insurance. Sometimes I think I'm almost insurance poor. But I think it's good to look ahead and think of those things. But if that's where I put my hope, and that's where you put your hope, then we are missing the point. I'm afraid sometimes we spend more time, now think about this, in looking at our checkbook and calendar than we do looking at the Word of God. It would be interesting if you just sat down and thought about it. How much time this week have you used in balancing your checkbook, being sure that the money's there to pay the bill? If you don't have it, being concerned about where it's coming from. And the calendar with all the appointments that you have to take care of things in this life, compare that with how much time you've used sitting down and reading God's Word and studying it. That may be what he's talking about when he says we look not at the things that are temporal, the things of this world, but we look at the things which are eternal. It's not wrong to think about the things that we need and have in this world, as long as we put them in proper focus. But if that's where our hope is, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7. And beginning at verse 17 in that chapter, he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God." Now there's our subject in total. Trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Where is your hope this morning? Where do you put your hope? So many people put it in the things of this world and spend most of their time accumulating things of this world and very little time thinking about their relationship to God. The Bible clearly teaches us that we need to put our hope in God. 1 Peter 1:21, that your faith and hope might be in God. Hebrews 6:11 talks about the full assurance of hope. And Hebrews 6:19 talks about hope being the anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which means unmovable. But where is that hope that is unmovable? It is in God. And here in Hebrews 6, where one verse says full assurance and the other one says sure and steadfast, and the verses between and before and after, God is being emphasized. Placing our trust and faith in Him, even putting on the Christian armor in Ephesians chapter 6 to follow after God and to stand against the wiles of the devil. Your hope needs to be in God, not in the things of this world. Then the Bible says that our hope ought to be in the Lord. This is another way of saying the same thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. That's where the real hope is. The Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. As important as our friends and families are to us, there's going to come a time when we will leave all of them, or they will leave us first. But if our hope is in Christ, He is not going to leave us. He says He'll be with us always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. And He promises in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." There's where the hope needs to be. Patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, which indicates that we must approach this subject with patience, realizing that we may not have everything that we want right now, but that we have that promise that will stand. Psalms 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." That's where we find our strength. We find some strength in friends and encouraging one another. But some of our greatest strength is found when we, in the privacy of our own closet, pray to God through Jesus Christ and believe that those prayers will be answered. He then says that our hope needs to be in the Word of God. Romans 15:4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning. That's talking about the written Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Do you ever sit down with your Bible and just read for the benefit of personal satisfaction? Too many times, and I know preachers especially are like this, we read and study the Bible to prepare for a class or for a sermon, and that's necessary. But I'm trying to emphasize to myself the importance of taking more time just to sit down and read God's Word for the pleasantness of it, for the comfort of it, that comes just because it's God's Word that's given to us. That's what he's saying in Romans 15:4, that ye through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You see something on the pages of God's Word, a promise that is there, that He will be with you in times of illness. He will be with you when you're losing loved ones in death. He will be with you as you come to that point of the valley of the shadow of death, that He will be there. That comfort that you find in the Lord, in His Word, is so worth so much. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. It is a chapter of 176 verses. I believe that either 169 or 170 of those verses include the word or precept or law or statutes, something that refers to the Word of God that has come to man. Let me share with you some of those verses. Verse 74, "They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word." Verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Verse 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word." At least three times in that chapter, he says, my hope is in the Word of God. It's related to that. The reason for that hope in His Word is suggested in other verses in this chapter. Verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." His word won't move. When you place your hope in it, it will be there. Verse 105 that you can quote, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We can put our hope in the Word of God because it will guide us in the right way. And 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning." And the American Standard Version translates that, "The sum of thy word is truth." Why can we place our hope in the Word? Because it is the truth, and it will not move at all. In Psalms 119, verse 16, he uses the word delight, not only emphasizing that the hope is there, but our attitude toward it. "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Verse 47, "I will delight myself in the commandments which I have loved." And verse 70, "Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." At least three times in this one chapter, he says, my hope is placed in the Word of God. At least three times he talks about how firm and sound and settled that Word is. And at least three times he talks about his delight being in the Word. Instead of placing our hope in the things of this world, though they are necessary and are to be used in the proper way and for the proper reason, our hope is to be placed in God, is to be placed in the Lord, and is to be placed in His Word. And another way of saying this is, our hope needs to be placed in heaven. Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life." Titus 2:13, "Looking for that blessed hope." And he goes ahead to say, "In the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Galatians 5:5, "Wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Placing our hope and our trust in the promises that have to do with heaven. You and I have a lot of plans of things that we want to do on this earth. There are plans that you have for the next few days. Most of us have special plans that center around this season of the year. But those plans are rather insignificant compared to the plan that we ought to have of being in heaven when this life is over. There may be some of our friends and even some in our families that will not make it till Christmas or New Year's. That's always a possibility even for us. And so as we plan for the events of happiness and appreciation and giving and association and all the good things that we anticipate will be associated with this season of the year, We need to be sure that we keep in mind that our real hope is placed in God, in the Lord, in His Word, and in heaven. We ought to want to go to heaven more than anything else. If we really do, we'll realize that death is not an end, but a beginning. And that everything that happens in this life is for the purpose of helping us to be ready to enjoy the wonderful blessings of that life that is to come. First song that we sang today was Count Your Many Blessings. Perhaps we don't do that enough, physically speaking. And if we sat down taking inventory of 2014 and planning for 2015, and we're honest with ourselves, we would see that we have more blessings than we sometimes think. But we need to count our spiritual blessings. We need to count the blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of assurance, the blessing of promises of that eternal life that is laid up for those who serve God. That's where the true blessings are, and that's where our true hope should be placed. If you do not have your hope in God, in Christ, in His Word, and in heaven itself, maybe you need to think about that seriously and do something about it today. If you need to be baptized into Christ as a penitent believer, or come asking for forgiveness, come as